At the end, last day of Shabbos, we learned Perek Gimel Seif Hey. Perek Gimel Seif Hey, which we'll read again quickly to review. And there's some pages that you got last week. Two pages that say in a Das Kohen. You have that? Good. Das Kohen. So let's review Seif Hey for a second. Perek Gimel Seif Hey. Page Chof Aleph. Shalom dem Torah lishma mamshicha meharotzen as a tachlis in his govish l'hatayra. One of the ways of Torah lishma is that when a person is learning, he's mamshicha meharotzen as a tachlis in his govish l'hatayra. He draws down from that highest Torah law that we've been talking about through this entire parak, from that echad, from that or ein sof baruch hu, he draws down from that exalted place of the Torah above, shemis pashatis v'chol inyan prati, so that light of the Torah above is mispashet, is able to spread forth and to descend and to seep into all of the prate pratim of halacha, of gemara, of everything that a person is learning, everything that a person is doing, v'chesed elyon harlech misrabe al hashayne ba'atzmai v'al kol ha'olam kulo. And one of the wondrous benefits of Torah lishma, of learning this way, is that not only does this great chesed elyon, does the person unleash into his life this bounty of bracha of chesed from above, in every little tiny detail that he's learning. Because remember, details are always dinim, right? Whenever you learn a detail, a prat, it's ben dam, ladam, ben din, ladin. Whenever a person is focused on a specific prat, all pratim, all details, are from the world of din. What does din mean? Din means making a distinction between ben dam, ladam, ben din, ladin, ben nega, lanaga. It means distinctions, separations. Pratim come from the Alma de Pirud. In general, pratim are very dangerous. In general. Pratim, because pratim can cause a person to forget the klal, as we've been learning about this entire parak. Pratim cause a person to forget the bigger picture, and a person can get lost in the among the trees, and he forgets the forest. Pratim are always ma'ir dinim, because whenever you are focused, let's say, on a very simple level, you have your best friend, it's Givaldi. And you've been this best friend, your best friends for 20 years, best friends. Until you were roommates one year. Then when you became roommates, it's ice friendship. Not always. Sometimes it can be stronger. But many times, in general, it's an eitz ha'tayva that if you have a very dear friend, then you should not become a roommate. Of course, marriage is an exception to that. And that creates interesting situations of its own. But Stam, what's the difference? Why is that? But until now, for 20 years, we're mamish yidide nefesh. For 20 years, we're best friends. And we mamish, we love each other's gavaldi. And you become roommates. By Hanukkah, it's already, you're going out of your kelim, you stop coming, you want to sleep there anymore. Then every single thing that the person does makes you crazy. I remember I had this roommate that used to stand by the mirror and floss his teeth for an hour. That was like his inyan. And I have my inyan on him. So what happens? What happened to this friendship? The Torah says that until now the friendship was more b'tayus klal. When you live with a person, then it gets into the nitty gritty of prate pratim. And then you start to think, you know what? He's not such a big tzaddik like I thought. I hear how he talks on the phone a little bit to his mother. It's a little bit how he takes care of this and how he does that. And the pratim are always dinim. Pratim are dinim. Pratim comes from the world of separation, of period. Klalim comes from the world of chesed. That's chesed. And everything is together. The overall picture is a good picture. It's when you get into the prati pratim that things are not. If you take, you can take the most beautiful person in the world. You take the most beautiful child in the world. You look at this child, and it's so the child is absolutely beautiful. But if you go with a magnifying glass and you start looking at with a magnifying glass, you see this is not so posh. That's not so posh. That's how the pratim are dinim. So what happens, however, is when a person learns Torah Lishma. So mamshich nayrotzon is tachlis and is gavish la Torah shi mispashetes v'chol inyan prati. The chesed elyon hoylich misraba l'shana ba'atzma. When a person is learning Torah Lishma, with all that we've been talking about until now in the parak, and really in the sefer that we've been talking about, learning about until now, with this rotzon, with this tefillah, with this dveikus that by oylem, with everything that you're learning, that he shine at pirkei with Hashem is baruch he learns. So then, what happens is that instead of the pratim being a source, God forbid, of dinim, where each prat is a separate thing, like looking with a magnifying glass and seeing it separate from the whole picture. When you see, when that piece of the child is with the entire child, and it's beautiful. It's when you separate something that it could become distorted, and it's ugly. So when a person is learning Torah Lishma, he's able to tap into that Chesed Elyon that now descends upon all of the Pratim, and therefore, when a person learns in this way, and a person is keeping Yiddishkeit in this way, that Chesed Elyon descends and is misrab and increases Alashayna Ba'atzma for the person himself who's learning Alashayna Ba'atzma. But not just that, it's such a powerful current of Chesed that is brought into the world, that it's not only upon yourself, but as Chazal tells us, Ba'al Kol Ha'olam Imai. The entire world is somehow. It draws Chesed into the world. That you're sitting and learning the Torah Lishma by yourself in the Bais Medrash at night, or in your room at night, and that it's helping this person and doing for that person, all kinds of chesedim are coming into the world. But the opposite, Chalila, is Aval Kishaloyim Dem Shaloy Lishma. If a person is learning Shaloy Lishma, without any connection to God, without any connection to the bigger picture of the Torah Dela'el that we've been talking about, is Kishaloyim Dem Shaloy Lishma, then Oz Ha'ifos HaPratis Mizgalos HaLaPratim K'shem La'atzman. Then, when you're sitting and learning, all of the details, are pieces, are separate pieces. Each is a separate piece. Pratim means dinim. In general, where there are pratim, there are dinim. As I just explained, when things are singled out, when the spotlight is on one particular thing, then you're already in the world of pirud, of separation. All pirud spells trouble. Pirud spells trouble. So then, oz ha'ifos ha'prati is mezgalos ha'lapratim k'shem la'atzmam, which is, you're learning, it's a beautiful halacha, it's a beautiful gemara, it's a beautiful tesis, whatever it is, it's a beautiful piece of Torah. But the true beauty of that piece of Torah is revealed in light of the klal of it being part of the Torah, and of it being part of one's connection from above to below. But if the person is only in his learning, it's not Lishma, and his learning is for whatever the Shalai Lishma is, to be considered smart, or to because it's interesting to you. You're excited by the sichlius, it's so sharp and it's so interesting, or it's inspiring, whatever. It's Shalai Lishma. So then, then what lights up is not the whole picture, like the whole child. What lights up is that particular detail, that prat that you're working on, that you're focused on. The spotlight is on that prat. The sichlam hakonus behem humitzumtzam, and whatever the seichel is of that particular prat is contained and it's confined within the smallness of that prat. And for those who have learned Torah Shpeh know that smallness could be tiny, tiny prat of something that it'll never ever happen to you your entire life. Such an inyan. And it could be in that tiny prat. And when that tiny prat is, God forbid, seen as a tiny prat that's separated from the entire picture, it's so mitzumtzum, which is what's causing a lot of difficulties. It's so mitzumtzum. Ulo femidas asechel harotzen hu kotzar. And lefi, according to the mitzumtzum dike mida of the seichel here, that tininess of this particular piece of something in learning is so mitzumtzum. The seichel, the rotzen in that is very very kotzar. It's very short. The rotzen, there isn't much rotzen, chesed, ahava, will and desire that's associated with that tiny little detail of that taisis, whatever it is. So what does that bring into the world? So Rav Kook says a very shocking thing. We did this quickly at the end last week. Rav Kook says, Umole kapdonis v'zav. Pratim is dinim. Dinim and anger kapdonis are roommates. Dinim, pirud. What are the kapdonis? You know what kapdonis is? Hakpada means it has to be this way, it can't be that way. A makpid. I mean, the word hakpada means many different things to different people. But kabdonis means when a person is very particular, the things have to be a certain way, and if it's not that way, he already gets upset, he gets turned around, and he gets angry, and so on. Kabdonis. It doesn't necessarily come out right away in anger. Kabdonis comes out more like the person's annoyed. Annoyed, easily agitated. Kapdonis. And he has hakpadis with people, he has cheshbainis. People who are in the world of hakpadis, or the world of pratim, they remember anything that any person ever did to them that wasn't nice. They live like that. They live until 120, with the list of hakpadis. Hakpadis. At any given time in their lives, they could take out this thing and it has a long thing. It says, 1973, Beryl looked at me the wrong way when I got onto the bus. It's not angry, it's hakpada. Hakpada. Oftentimes the makpidim will dress it up in something religious and say, because it wasn't done al pi halacha, this wasn't. They have ways of, there's certain, you have the people that there's a certain inyan in shuls that all of the men here know about, and the women also know that there's a certain inyan that their whole lives, their entire chiyus, and the whole reason they come to shul, a major reason they come to shul is that is only with the hope that maybe the Baal Kara will make a mistake. Maybe. And if the Baal Kara didn't make any mistake, it was then he's going to have some hakpad at the table with his wife that she left out the salt from something. There'll be a different. Then he could scream out, salt! The same way he screams out always during laying. The first one to... Not to say that... I'm not suggesting that the Baal Kara just go... But, there's that certain guy sits on the edge of his seat. The Baal Diktuk. The big Baal Diktuk. Every shul is... There's a, usually... Not always. But mostly there's a gzeir that every shul has like one of these guys. That the medaktuk. Even the word diktuk means dak. You understand? Diktuk means dak. What does it mean? Grinding something dak into particles. There are people who grind other Jews into particles, who look at them as particles, every single thing in their lives. And that's why I'm saying, of course, the Baal Kara, there's a way the Gabi could say it quietly to us. There's always like this guy who screams out that if he makes a mistake, and if he said an ace instead of an S, this guy. And when he does it, he has a certain satisfaction. There's a certain satisfaction. He sits a certain way in his chair afterwards. But only for a second, because he has to be focused, because there might be a mazel. Maybe the next pasuk will also be something. So you only can rest for a second to enjoy, and then he has to go to the medaktikim, but the mafik, hey, no. And how they also, that's nothing with the valedictor, with the diktik, they make the whole world mishiga, the valedictor. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't lay with the right diktik, but it's different. They're the kapdanim. And then after davening also, they have to go point out, even if it's like some sweet little bacha or a bar mitzvah boy. It happened in the shul. There was a bar mitzvah boy that there was a baal diktuk that also he doesn't come to over there. It's a baal diktuk. He went over to the bar mitzvah boy. The father was upset. He went over to the bar mitzvah boy and he started to show him different things that he messed up. Like, what's the tachlis? Notice he didn't say this and he didn't say that, whatever. They have always the valedictic stuff. So he said to his little kid, so what's the tachlis? So he told him, because next year when it comes to your parasha, and if you're going to lane, this is like, so the little boy said, oh. So now I did it, my whole thing I did was bid. That's what he thinks. Because the valedictic, dak. And those same people, the valedictic, don't think that they just do it in shul. They're valedictic everywhere. The medaktikim. There's a guy who has in yeshiva. He used to write inside every sefer of his, I'm machbid gomer if you take it out of the bismedrish. The diktik is not so good. But I'm machbid gomer if you take this out of the bismedrish. And they say it that way, you know. Just, I'm machbid gomer to take out of this. It's the valedictic. The valedictic. The whole life is the valedictic. Where does that come from? It comes from a preoccupation with pratim, right? That's where you become. That's how you become a person like that. You're preoccupied with details. In every business, you need a person who's a little bit meshuggah with the details. But if the business is entirely in the hands of those people, it gets run into the ground. You always have to have the one who really, really is behind making a lot of money is the one that sees it from on top. Sees it from a mountain and looks and he's mashkif on the whole thing. The valedictor can get things done. They could say, get a lot of people upset along the way and everybody's annoyed. But they're good to have around one. Yeah, you need in business one valedictor. You need. But if you have too many, you can understand. But one valedictor is good. But the overall success depends on the chesed elyon of a person with bigger eyes and with a heart looking at the whole thing and seeing and being able to know how to talk to the people and bring them together. But the valedictic are the ones that are stuck on pratim. And that shouldn't be, I'm not saying that all people who are interested in diktik or care about diktik are like those personalities. I'm saying there's more of an atiyah like that. I don't mean chalila to say, obviously, that diktik is part of Torah, not chas v'shalom. But there's a certain personality that it's not like they're not, so in the other things, it's just in that inyan. And that's very close to being mole kabdonis v'zaf. To be filled with kabdonis, from kabdonis zaf. Zaf's already anger. The kabdonim, the medakta can get very angry eventually. I mean, takpad is usually leads to anger. The husbands are makbid the wives are very makbid the husbands. Everything has to be like this. Or the kids sit at the Shabbos table and it's like they're sitting at West Point or something. That if the kid leans over, if the kid wants to go to the couch for a minute or two, then it's the father's makbid gomer. That his kid's not allowed to leave the table during his mirrors or something. You know, all the kids that have the misfortune of growing up at these army bases. You know what I'm talking about? They have to come with their things polished and with their shirts like this, and they have to sit at the table and their fathers. They're just looking to get out as soon as they can. As soon as they get away from them. The valedictic, if you have parents who are valedictic, that's they're already thinking about renting an apartment when they're seven. They're trying to get out of here. Because it's the opposite of chesed. It's diktik, it's kabonis, kapadonis, and zaf, and anger, and all. And it's always mislabish and something with Yiddishkeit, or midas tayvis, and derecheretz, and v'chol v'chol. But it's all kabdonis. It's all kabdonis. It all comes from
strictness.
Particular, to be particular about everything. To be particular about everything. with a woman, it's not as much. Let's ben om l'chaveru as much as with men, but women come from the side of din, and with women there can be a merdika kabdonis that things have to be a certain, have to look a certain way and be a certain way. There could be an unbelievable kabdonis. It's din, a very strong dinim like that from the side of the nekeva, that have to be very, very particular. Just like this has to be like this, and if it's not exactly like that, then it's very hard. It's very uncomfortable to come to a place or to stay in that place, even for Shabbos, or to be if it's not just this place or that place. And each in life, everybody has this is a struggle, but kabdonis comes from that world of pratim, of being of being with the trees without the forest. Without the forest. And think of as parents, there are many people, parents here that know that if you want. So I was having a conversation with a tzaddik yesterday, mamish yesterday, one of the deacon from the shul, about, you know, with davening, so with the children, how makbid to be that they come to shul. So a little girl, a little boy. So how makbid should so. So I said, on Shabbos, he's talking about the girl to come to shul. I said, what's the marimak that she comes to shul at all on Shabbos? That he's making her come to shul, and he says she doesn't want to, but I wonder how strict should I be with her coming to shul? And then with the boy, there's a little boy, 9 years old, also, that he makes him come every Shabbos, and he doesn't want to come, and it's a fight each time he leaves in the morning. The kid's staying in bed too long, he doesn't want to come. You heard the story before? You've been part of this story before? Yeah. Okay. So the kid doesn't want to come. So I always ask the same thing. He said, look, what's the tachlis? You want your kid to grow up being a Jew that davens, right? Yeah. So if you want to make sure that he doesn't want to daven, then you continue along this way. Then it'll be guaranteed that he won't want to daven the rest of his life. Just leave him alone. Tell him he should try to speak to God every day. To say, good morning, how are you? Afrelich mitogim, that's it. I'll get Shabbos. What are you making him crazy, a little kid? there's no chinuch? There's no chinuch. Sure, there's a chinuch. You say, you know what, maybe two Shabbos is a month. We'll try if you like to come a Kabbalah Shabbos, two Shabbos. I'll come two Shabbos. Come on Shabbos. Yeah, work with the kid. He's a little kid. What do you think? He's not going to daven? The biggest daveners are the Bali Tshuva. Never daven once when they were kids. Those are the biggest daveners. Right? So what happened? Because nobody told them they have to daven. So now they want to daven. They've asked their lives. That's the nature of a person. Nobody ever told them they have to daven. So they want to daven. But the father is saying, you have to come to shul, you have to come to shul. The kid doesn't want to come to shul. That means being in shul for him is a negative experience. He doesn't want to be there. That's why the shuls had to become Jewish centers, you understand? They have to have groups, and you have to have pool halls and ping pong and you know, you have to have all kinds of stuff. You have to have a stable with horses and rides, and you have to have an arcade. And then all of that was then you didn't, then you could save a lot of money, because you bring girls to the shul. And then the girls, they don't need, the boys don't need any other things. Then they just have girls. Then you save a lot of money. That's what they did. So you know, then you could already close up the pool. You don't have to have anything else. If there's a nice girl in shul, so then that's already enough for the boy to be interested and to come to shul. So the shuls are all making sideshows for the kids to come. All of this is part of this whole culture of American chinuch. It means chinuch. That's chinuch. He should go to shul to meet his girlfriend. That's chinuch. The shul wants to daven. Doesn't want to daven. Doesn't have to go to shul. Daven at home a little bit. The girls bechlal, they should stay with their mothers and daven a little bit. And the boys, if you want to come to shul, you come to shul. You think he's not going to daven? He's going to daven. He'll daven, Mitzvah Shem. If you leave him alone, he'll daven. And he sees that his father cares about davening, and the mothers are davening. He sees Shabbos is lichtig and freilich and Yiddishkeit, and the Bar Olam is alive. And there's a Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's a Rabbi Shalom. So then he'll end up, he'll be a big davener. You have to start with them to make them to come to shul. He feels he's a prisoner in shul, and then they have to all thing with groups and girls and mice and that. The whole thing is never was in all the history of Klal Yisrael. There was never a thing that you felt that you had to drag a kid to shul. He wanted to come, he came. You want to come? He said, "My mitzvah starts to come more. Starts to come more." And from this came out the decision of the children, is that the children make a balagan in shul, and it's a whole commotion. And what do you do with them? And what do we do with these kids? And then came out the machshava the wife has, that my husband has to take. I don't know why I'm talking about this so much. But then, then the wife has this machshava that the children have to go to shul. She uses that because so she wants to be able to stay in bed. Well, there's a baby she has to take care of, so she wants the husband to take the kids off the shul. So the shul has to become a place that's going to take care of kids, and the kids are staying at davening. You don't want the kids to stay at davening, so you have to make this, and you have to make that, and fun, and games, and have counselors, and what is that? What is that? Was that? Did the Rama ever write about such a thing? You ever see a Taishas that has anything like that in it? that it became a world like that? So the Kabdonus and Zaf, Mole Kabdonus and Zaf, is when there's a focus on the Prote Protim. And you and that's what I was saying. You want, with the davening with the kids, you wanted the child should be a davener. That's a good thing. You wanted the child should be a davener. There was a beautiful article on Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It was his Yahrzeit. There was an article on Shlomo Zalman. And one of his sons, they were talking to one of his sons, Reb Israel, I think. Maybe not, but Markov, Reb Israel. They're asking one of his sons, each one of his sons, the Gain and Tzaddikim. They were asking, what was it like in the house of Shlomo Zalman? So he said that our father never once said to us that we should be Talmid Chacham. He just said that it's kedai not to be an Amhara. But there's a difference, you know, there's a difference. He didn't say, like, to put pressure. You know, you have a father like Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What's going to look like? You can imagine every single place where these boys went when they were kids. Shlomo Zalman's son, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? To be a Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son. So he said the father never said to them such a nusach of to be a Talmid Chacham, to be this. Like everybody says to their kids now, that they read them all these little books about being the next Chafetz Chaims. He said, Shlomo Zalman never said, it's better not to be an Amar. It's better not to be an Amar. It's a different way of doing it. It's a different way of saying things. And always with smiling, with simcha in the house. You want the kid to be a davener. See, Rabbi Shalom, happy. He'll daven. And if you think because he missed davening parshas by Yikra and Tokshin Ayin, that he's not going to daven the rest of his life. But that's, you get crazy. You think, uh-oh, my kid's at risk. Because he didn't daven parshas by Yikra. He missed Musaf. So he missed Musaf. No. So what's going to happen if he missed Musaf? Well, he leaves the shul, he's not there for Musaf, and the father's already going around the whole place looking for him. Oh, I'm going to give it to him. He walked out for Musaf. Some 8-year-old kid, he's going to get it from him. So what? He missed Musaf. Well, what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to him? You didn't miss Musaf? You said it and you missed it. So how are you so different from the kid? Yeah, so different from the boy. So the boys are the little boys, he's running around. But that's how it is. We have these, we think that we're going to, through our dikdukim and through our kapdonis on the protim of the child's life, that the child's going to turn out to be a tzaddik. Because we want good for the children. It comes from a good place. But that's not how to do it. Because when you're a person that's sitting all the time on protim, then it's even, that's what we still have kukis on in learning. When the Torah is not lishma, and is just staying in this prat, in order to be able to chap and to understand and to say over and to be smart, or whatever it is, then that world is a world that's filled with kapdonus and zaf. You see this be'einenu. It's filled with kapedus and zaf and anger. V'noach lo shelo ba la'olam. That's not Rav Kook's innovation. That's, of course, from the Gemara, about a person who learns shelo l'shma. It's noach lo, it would have been easier for him, shelo ba la'olam, that he would never have come to the world. Certainly would be easier for everybody else in his life. But even for him, the Norach Lo Shel Balom, because the people, the big Medaktakim, they don't have a good time in this world. They just don't enjoy life. It goes to the, finally he's going to the restaurant that he always wanted to go to, and he's looking at everybody else's plate, you know what I'm saying? What they're bringing out, like, or he doesn't like, how come they put me at this place, and how come they put him, that person over there, that place, that's a better place. The people who are the medaktakim, they don't enjoy themselves. They make other people miserable and they make themselves miserable. And it's a life that's filled with kapdonis and zaf and anger. It's not a good life. And therefore it's v'noach lo shelo ba la'olam. V'noach lo shelo ba la'olam. Instead of bringing chesed into the world, Instead of drawing down the chesed elyon and simcha, instead of bringing into the world the oinig of being a Jew, instead these people are with their frumkeit, with their yiddishkeit, they're making everything with kabonis, kapdonis, and zaf, and angry, and people set. And so it's not a chlesh labalom. It would have been better not to come to the world. What did he gain for himself in the world, and what did he give to everybody else in the world? Just aggravation, and make everybody nervous and kapdonis. Now, the the page that you have in front of you from the Das Kohen. That's Das Kohen. These are tshuvas. As you know, Rav Kook was not only a mekubel and a bal machshava. Rav Kook was one of the gedolei hador in Psak Halachi, and he wrote very, very important tshuvas and svarim and halacha. One of them is Das Kohen. This is a piece in Hilchos Basar B'Chol V'Teruvah. So what could be going on over here? So it's going in the Arisa Torah in footnote 25. It's brought down over here to take a look. Ayin Das Kohen. The piece here from Das Kohen is really coming at the end of a letter that he wrote in Halacha. You know, he wrote a tshuva in Halacha, and this was a person that he knew, as you'll see, was a menahel, a Rosh Hashiva of some sort. And Rav Kook wrote him first on the, it was an Inyan Nebasa B'Chalav, something. And then at the end, he was responding to another part of the letter that had to do it's exactly what we're learning. But you'll see, this is already the beginning of Rav Kook's program, of his plan for how a yeshiva is supposed to look. We're going to be coming back to this a lot throughout the Sefer. Rav Kook's picture of a yeshiva. Rav Kook's ideal system in learning. That all that we've been learning so far in this parak, how Rav Kook is writing back to this Talmud Chacham about life in the yeshiva and how to implement all that we're learning about Lamaisa, which we're going to be coming back to a lot. But here's the first taste of it, and I thought it'd be important before we go further, especially since it was that Rav Tzvi Yehuda noted that we should take a look here, so that it's kedai. So you have two pages on Kuf Lama Gimel. Is there an arrow on the right side? You see? Maybe it's only on mine. I made the arrow. It was before I focused the art. So on page Kuf Lama Gimel, you have two pages, Lama Gimel Lama Dalet, right? So on Lama Gimel, all the way the first column, the last paragraph, where it says Vihine Kvayta Rasa. So it's like a postscript almost to the letter which was a tshuva halacha. He writes the following of Kook. Hine kvay tarasai yidid nafshi shlita simachas levavi. You caused my heart to rejoice. You brought joy to my heart, Rav Kook says. V'mesh ha'idiyani shehis chilum adim atalmidim ma'at divrei musi v'yas Hashem. Chachma misifrei kodesh, that you brought joy to my heart by telling me, by informing me that you've started in the yeshiva to learn with the boys. You know, besides the regular learning, besides the gemara and everything, that you're learning with them also some divrei musar. Yiras Hashem, chachma misifrei kodesh, and chachma from sifrei kodesh, from the Svarim HaKadosh. Ashrei chelko. Fortunate is your chelik. You're fortunate for your chelik. Ashrei chelka. B'yichud, Rav Kook says, especially, halom mukhrachu hadavar b'zman hazeh. Halom mukhrachu hadavar, it's an absolute necessity. In our times, in Benina Zoo and over here. It's an absolute necessity. It's not just an extracurricular, you know, added thing. It's absolutely necessary. Because in our days, the tshukais hazmanios, the cravings and longings for temporary things, meaning for silly things and for forbidden things, shall hevli ha'olam, for the narishkeit of the world, hakina, jealousy, taiva, covet, hamaduma, and see people, envy and taivas and covet, Hamaduma, and imaginary covet that people are after all of these things. Hoimais v'roya shais kolkach are loud, are booming, loud. There's so much. We're living at a time with the hevel ha'olam, the narishkeit, and the kinna, the jealousy, the taivas, the covet, all hoimais, it's a tumult. V'roya shoyis kol kach, I'm making loud, loud noise. B'menucha la'oyer es levav tzi'irei hayomim. With what are we going to be able to awaken the hearts of the tzi'irei hayomim, of the young people? She'yifkuchu einehem, that their eyes should be open. This connects to what we're learning this morning also. She'yifkuchu einehem, that their eyes should open up. Lirais, to see. Hoida'u pe'era, the glory and the beauty. Ziva, the shining light. The hadara, the splendor. Sheltaira. Everybody's so lost in the pratim of what? Of the Tshukas Asmanias, of the Narishkeit, and the Taiva, and the Kovet, the Kinna Taiva, Kovet, and all these things, more than ever before. So, how are their hearts going to be aroused and awakened, to open their eyes to see the beauty and the splendor of Torah? Im lo belimuda shel chochma sayir ha'amitis. If we don't learn with them, chochma hayir, the Chochma of Yiras Shamayim Ha'amitis, Al Pi Sifrei Gedoli Yisrael, with the Svarim of the Gedoli Yisrael. For Rav Kook, that meant from the beginning, Kuzari and Maharal especially, to learn Kuzari and Maharal. As the fellows get older, to go more into the Svarim HaKadoshim. But initially, the Svarim of the Ramchal, Kuzari of Yehuda Levi, and the Maharal. That was from the meat and potatoes of Rav Kook's program to begin with. And you move forward with that. But Ramchal, Kuzri, Maharal, the basics. Emlobli mudr shel chochmas ha'yir ha'amitis al-pi sifrei gedolei Yisrael asher ha'amiku hechivu b'chochmas ha'yir ha'tayra. Asher ha'amiku, who went very, very deeply, and ha'amiku and hechivu and expanded, meaning in a very, very broad and expansive way, in Chochmas Ayir HaTahir, in that Chochman, the wisdom of pure Yiras Hashem. Ukedushas Or Hashem, and the holiness of the light of Hashem, Hagnuza Benishmas Am Kadosh, that is hidden in the soul of the holy nation, to bring out what's hidden, to draw out what's hidden in the souls of Jews, to draw it out. To bring out that light, Helus Oira, but the tzaddikim in the Svarim HaKadoshim were drawing out to draw out the light that's hidden inside the Nishmas Yisrael. Laman Tizgala La'ein Kol, in order that it should be revealed for all to see the holiness of the Jewish people. B'chol Alfei Oreseh Hami'irim, with all of the thousands, meaning countless sparkles of light that shine from a Jew, Bo'or Yakus Archaim, with the precious light of the light of life itself, which is Torah, that it should shine on Jews, such a light, that it should come out, that you should see this on every Jew. How are we going to awaken this, if not through the Svarim HaKadoshim, through the Gedolei Yisrael? That was their whole Ratzon in the Svarim, was to bring out this light, to bring out this light. I'm not able to write now, whatever, I don't have the time right now to write Ka'es Dvar Misudorim, to write Dvar Misudorim a clear, in an orderly way. V'rayonais haru'uyim l'fi talmida v'yikarim, with ideas, with concepts that are befitting your precious talmidim. In other words, to lay out a program for your yeshiva, specifically for your chevra. I can't right now specifically do that. She'en yedeh mahalach rucham v'kacheseh manafshim. I don't know the boys, so therefore I don't know them again, personally, the mahalach ruach, you know, where they're holding, in their mahalach ruach, who they are, and their kacheseh manafshim, and their, where they are right now, with their kacheseh manafshim, with their spiritual kacheseh, I don't know. So I can't right now lay out a particular, specific program with ideas that would befit these boys. V'chol zayis, nevertheless, nira, Shereishis kol, that it seems that Reishis kol to begin with. Rori lahazbil lechol atalmidim as a yisayt hagadol. To begin with, it is certainly proper and right to explain to all the talmidim as a yisayt hagadol, the big yisayt. Shekol hatzlochas haTorah, that all success in their Torah learning, limtsa siman bracha b'limudai, that each one of the talmidim should be able to see a siman bracha, to see blessing come to him in his life through his learning, lemigmer lemizber, to be able to understand Torah, to explain, to understand the svara, and to become a talmid chacham, to really understand in a deep way. Lovai b'revais hayom lemadrega chashuva v'haguna b'kisa shatayah, so that over the years, to be able to grow, to reach a chashuv v'madrega, to reach the crown of Torah. Tluyehi, it all depends on what? Rav Kook doesn't say how sharp you are and how smart you are. He says, Tluyehi lefi midas yiras Hashem. It depends on the yiras Shemayim. V'oimek kedushas ha'emuna ha'tahira, Hamishureshes benefesh, and it all depends on the depths of the holiness of pure faith that is deeply rooted in your soul. All of your success in learning, and being a Talmid Chacham, and all the pratim, all the ins and outs of Shas and Poskim, all the Hatzloch and Siman Bracha depends on this. If he midas yiras Hashem ba'oimek kedushas hamuna ha'tahira hamishureshes benefesh. That wasn't part of my curriculum in school when I was a kid. And not just a little kid, growing up either. It wasn't part of it. Ki ha'chavas ha'koyach ha'sichli v'ha'amakosai, because the expansion and the deepening of one's intellectual koyches, koyach ha'sichli, because you might ask, what does one thing have to do with the other? Why can't I become like a genius in all the details of Torah, in all the learning in Shas and Poskim, and not be connected to this union of learning, of this yisoid of Yiras Hashem and Oimek Kedushas Hamuna Tahira. I'm just my seichel. I'm very, very smart, very sharp, and I want to learn. And with my learning, I'm going to learn. What I have to? Why does it depend on Yiras Hashem and Kedushas Hamuna Tahira? I could just learn a lot. Very smart, very sharp, and I'll be able to learn. So Rav Kook says, you're making a big mistake. We're not talking here about calculus. We're talking about Teres Hashem. So he says, Ke'achovas ha'kar ha'sikli v'ha'makosai l'tishoso, it's sharpening v'estafuso l'sifim rabim, sharpening it and polishing. L'tisho means to polish and sharpen, that it should be able to reach, the Atari should be able to go and branch out and to see from Rabban to many, into all of the many details, the see from the paragraphs, the pratim of Torah. Shuhu ha-yisayid ha-godol harifus ha-bikiyas, which is the yisayid of harifus, of sharpness, and bikiyas being, having a sharpness in the learning, and also bikiyas, a broadness of, and to be very knowledgeable in learning. It all depends on what? Tluyihi ba'oimek ha-rotzen ha-nafshi. It all depends on the depths of the rotzen ha-nafshi. The rotzen ha-nafshi. The spiritual will and desire that you have. Hamis oira la hoikiris ha-inyonim ha-limudiyim sho'oisek behem. That's misoira that is awakened within you to treasure, to really to treasure, lahokir, to treasure. From the word yakar, precious. As in yonam alumudium, the subjects that you're learning, the subject that you're learning. You're not learning. You're not learning. It's just like an interesting fact or a piece of material. When a person has Yiras Hashem and Emuna Tahira, you're learning Taras Hashem. It's the Baruch Shalom's Taira. The first thing is that the person has to have. Rav Kook says that there has to be what? There has to be a Oymek Rotzen Hanavshi. Oymek Rotzen Hanavshi means that when a person feels how valuable and how precious this is. There's somebody, Lo Aleinu, I know, who has a child that came down with a Meshunadika cancer, this little child, little girl, Hashem Yirachem. And the parents could talk to any doctor in all the ins and outs of cancer, of that machla. They've read everything and every web thing, site, and they read books, and they became this inyan of Hashem Yirachem, of that machla that their child has. They became like big bekiyim and ga'inim in that inyan. Does anybody have to explain why? Because they love their daughter. That's not under normal circumstances. If the child would be, if everything would be the same and the kid would be well, and you go over to this father or this mother and say, hey, are you interested in this book? And there's some 700 page book on the mouth. Oh, no, I'm not interested in that. I don't see that as important. But now it became the most important thing in their lives. That chachma. Why? Because they love their daughter. And now they became in this chachma. And they know the seif, every seif cut in this chachma. Because that's my child. There's nothing that's more relevant than my child. There's nothing that's more precious to me than my child. It's not a subject anymore. This is not a subject. That machla is not a subject. That's my life. It's my happiness. It's my whole future. It's everything that I could be in this world is tied up to that chachma. So the intellectual kaiches are sharpened and broadened. Why? Because there's a ratzon hanafshi. Because I feel that this is my life. Ki hem chayenu, ki hi chayech v'arechimach. Ki hem chayenu v'arechimach. It's not a limud. It's not a subject. There's just so far that gaiva can carry a yeshiva bacher. You know what I'm saying? The gaiva to be able to be smart and slug up somebody in learning, that'll only get you to a certain place. At some point, you grow up, you outgrow the need to be smarter than everybody. So now you're 21 years old, and you're sort of tired of all of that. You were learning all these years. First of all, you have to learn because they told you if you don't learn, you're not going to get married. And then also there was some excitement and fun. You're a smart guy. You're interested in it. And there's some satisfaction that comes with the arguing and the fighting and the slugging up and the being smart and so on and so forth. But you're already growing up. It's like played itself out. If you try to talk that way to your wife, she looks like you're nuts. Oh, you're all like this? Oh, She was like, what are you talking about? Can you talk normal, please? Oh, you hold I'm not normal? I don't know what to do with that. Like, how you talk to a person like that? So, that's not going to work anymore. You have to start to, you got to start fighting and stop arguing and just talk like a man, So the guy is not going to do it for you anymore. Some people, the guy could take them to 40, 50. You could even become a Rosh Yeshiva like that. There are people like that. There are Rosh Yeshivas without any Yerushalayim. Hashem Yerachem. Not Chas V'Shalom, not many, but there are some without any Yerushalayim. But it's all a guy is not going and learning. But at some point, you're a sincere, serious person. So the guy is not going to do it for you anymore. What's gonna get you up tomorrow morning to have a Seder and learning Shabbos morning at 6 o'clock? You're not in yeshiva. You're not having any bechina. There's nobody that's measuring your knowledge. There's no one that you're gonna have to slug up. There's nothing like that. Your wife is not gonna fehear you on what you learned in Erevin. So what's gonna do that? A ratzon pnimi. A cheshek. When you feel that there's nothing that's more precious in the world than the Sechta Erevin. When a person feels that this Taisus and Erevin was given to me by the Creator of the world as a gift with a beautiful bow on it, this Shabbos morning Paisus V'Yikra, And he said, my Yankel and my Torah, it's my Torah, it's Torah Hashem. Every single word that you learn is making me and you closer with each other. It's bringing us together. Every single word that you're learning is relevant to your existence in this world and the next world. Every word that you're learning. You say, what's not panini? Person says, what's not panini? You're not in yeshiva, you're not a kid anymore. No one's standing over, you're not getting a report card. Your mommy and daddy are not watching you. So what are you? Now it's ben hazmanim, no? It's ben hazmanim. So what are you doing? Not to say that a guy from yeshiva can't have a little bit to relax. And I say that with a small R, relaxing. Because unless you're a masmid, there's plenty of relaxing that goes on during the Zman. Kiyadua. He's like everybody, the most overworked people in the world. You ever see these guys? They're like, you know, so overworked. I'm not talking about masmidim. What's Ben Azman? What's Shaykh is Ben Azman? To get up in the morning, 9:30, 10 o'clock, what? What's Ben Azman? Do you have a Ratzon Panimi? Is there a Cheshik for Torah Hashem? That's not anymore. You're not in the yeshiva anymore. How do you act when you're not in yeshiva? How do you dress when you're not in yeshiva? How do you talk when you're not in yeshiva? So Rav Kook says that first they have to understand this big yesod, and the big yesod is that everything depends on Emunah Tahira, which is this Yiras Hashem Ba'Omek Kedushas Emunah, and to see what and the mind will get sharpened. It's all Tliya Ba'Omek Ratzon Hanafshi Hamisayir LaHokir Esahin Yonim Alimudim Shu Isik Behem LaHokir. When you feel how precious this is that you're learning, this is Hashem, this is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then you have a Ratzon Nafshi to learn. So when you learn Maral, you learn Kuzvi, you learn Ramchal, you learn Svama Kedoshim, and you learn what it means in Nefesh and Neshama, what the Baruch Shalom is, and what does it mean Hashvos Hashchina, and what a Yid is, and who am I, what happens when I'm learning Torah, then you have a Ratzon Nafshi. Or else it's another subject. It's another subject, but it's connected very much, because it's weird, because when it comes to secular things, so it's just, you know, you don't delude yourself. You just get the grade and then you're done with it and you throw out the book. You finish with it. I did biology and I'm done. I did the American history. That's what's confusing that's one of the confusing things with the yeshiva boys, because they can't do that. So they're in a funny place. It's a very, very funny. It's a very odd. There's nothing else like that in the world. Anything else in the world, you study something, you took the test and you did very well. Then you finish with it. If you decide to, so that you did biology in high school, either. Now you want to be a doctor, so anyway, they start with you again and you read it again. But otherwise, I'm finished. I got my grade for biology, whatever that is, in 10th, 11th grade. I got my biology. I did the Regents. So I'm finished. So that's it. Zygosome. I never have to meet an amoeba the rest of my life. Well, so after a minute, you ever see anything like that in your life? I never saw anything like that. In biology, I never met a paramecium. I never saw anything in my life like that. Who cares? The only reason I care, it doesn't mean anything to me, the etzim. The only reason I have a shaykhus to the paramecium is because I have to do this chapter because it's on the test. Once the test is finished, come on, Ugandic, I don't care. They should all do well, the paramecium. There's no enough committed to me in my life. It doesn't make a difference. The problem is that with Yiddishkeit, the guys are told, no. You're not allowed to think like that. You're not allowed to feel like that. Say that, but then they don't have the Emunah Tahira in the Yiras Hashem. It's not driven within their hearts and their souls. It's not revealed within them that they should feel anything but that. So they're in a very funny place. Because no one else has to, you never have to be embarrassed to throw out your history book, your biology book, but you can't throw out your Gemara. There's a big problem. Because there are a lot of guys that would like to, but it's not sanctioned by Judaism. So you're in a funny place. And it's a terrible thing to be caught in, when your heart's not in something, and you have to be there. It's a terrible thing. Most, as I said this morning by the Pisatzma, mostly after high school you finish that. Even in college you could usually go to major in what you want to, right? Oh, you might have to take some requirements. And everybody knows that the requirements are usually, it's bitter, right? The requirements, it's bitter. So you can try to figure out some way that other people could do that for you. There's always a hechatimsu, a chachma, somehow. But if you could take what you want to take, then already you feel good. Yeah, you want to be you want to do this, you want to do that. Same, you take what you take, whatever you're interested in. But there has to be a ratz nafshi. If you're learning something and you don't value this as being something which is precious to you, and it's not something which hasn't the ein sof baruch hu, then from where, how is your, are you going to deepen, what cheshek is there for you to deepen your understanding and to become greater and greater and greater in that limud, even on the most intellectual level, what cheshek does a person have? So Mr. Shem, we'll finish this piece from Das Kain next week.